And if I can get it fixed. We got a special treat today. The Sipes are over this weekend visiting with Stephanie and Billy and the family. And we're glad to have them here. And I couldn't pass up an opportunity for Robbie to preach. And I'm glad that he agreed to do so. I really appreciate Robbie and his ministry. He has a group over in Asheville, North Carolina, and goes over there every Sunday. He's faithful to do that. And also, he's a school principal. I've always enjoyed his teaching, and we're glad to have him with us today. Appreciate him being willing to do this. I was telling Mary yesterday afternoon, I said, you know, we're having breakfast at 10 o'clock, and then Robbie's preaching, and we're not having church tomorrow night. I'm getting a day off. She said, well, everybody deserves one occasionally. And then Mark didn't pay me this week, so now I know why. He figured that out too. But anyway, I appreciate Robbie being here. Robbie, come on, teach us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. For those of you who come here or are online watching and expecting to see Steve, I apologize for that. So stick around, see what you think. I've always loved coming here. I love this church. I love the ministry that you guys do and all the many facets, including Facebook, which is new. I think you've been doing that just a few weeks. We do that in Asheville as well. If you are on Facebook, we do a 10 o'clock live when we're there, which most Sundays. But it's at Blessed Hope Bible Fellowship is what you go to on Facebook, and you like that page and whatever. And then those videos stay. So you can watch them if you so desire. I'm going to set my time here. I don't usually go long, but sometimes you need a little reminder. I know that you've eaten, so my job is to keep you awake until you get home. I did this last Sunday. We had breakfast at Charity, then I had to get up and keep everybody awake. So I got a little practice. If you will turn to Romans chapter 6. If you read Paul's epistles and then the book of Acts and his ministry, you find that Paul used current things and the current situations as a means to present the gospel. For example, when he was in Athens, and he went up to on Mars Hill and was preaching to them about the different gods and the different temples that they had, and he actually used one of the temple there of the unknown god as a means to preach the gospel to them and present Christ as, this is the God you don't know about, and let me tell you about him. So a lot of times this time of year is a good time to share the traditions that we do use it. For example, gift giving and giving of gifts is a great way to introduce somebody about the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of God. And if you look in Romans chapter 6, we'll just start there. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God, everybody this time of year talks about, after Christmas and after everybody's done all the exchanging of gifts, oftentimes you start talking about what did you get, or what did you get this person, or what did you get from that person as far as gifts. And kids are really, that when they go back to school, it's like, what'd you get? Here, let me tell you what I got. And they're all excited about their gift. And we, as Christians, those of us who've trusted Christ our Savior, we have the greatest gift of all that was given to us. And that's the gift of eternal life. And yet we don't give it the excitement that it needs to have, that gift of eternal life. You think about a gift, and you think about when you are going to purchase a gift and when you're going to be giving someone a gift, especially if it's somebody that means a lot to you and that you love them, you generally spend some time thinking about what is it that what do they need or what do they want? What would be really something that would excite them? And you know, this verse here in Romans chapter 6, we have a great need, because the wages of sin is death. And this gift fills that need. The look over in chapter 5 of Romans, the page over, in verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We've got a problem of death. Death is the wage. Death is the payment for sin. And that's the problem with this world. Death comes about by sin. Why do people get sick? Why do people die? Why are there graveyards? Why are there cemeteries? The fact is that's the course of life is death. You are born dying. You are born with an expiration date. And you won't pass that expiration date inside of yourself. There's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do. It's appointed unto man once to die. And so we've got this problem of death. We've got this problem of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. We are in Adam. We are in sin. We've got this problem, this wage of sin. But then we have a gift. We have what has been taken care of with that sin problem, which is the opposite of death, which is eternal life. You know, we don't choose, and I heard Brother Moore use this analogy years ago. It's not like, you know, I was born in 1968. It wasn't like on November 22nd, 1968, I was born. It's not like I was like a day before that, on November 21st, I was like walking around and trying to choose who my parents are going to be. It wasn't like I had a choice in, I think I am going to go ahead and be born into this world. I didn't have a choice in that. I was just born into a world that is dying and it is sinful. And I'm in that world and I am sin. I have sin. And so I have death. It's passed upon all men for all of sin. And so this chapter here in Romans chapter 5 talks about the fact that this problem came about by one man, and then this problem was fixed by one man. If you keep on reading, that's what this whole chapter is about here. Notice, look in verse 15. Skip down to verse 15 of Romans 5. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. There's our gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Notice the gift here has different aspects. First off, it has to do with righteousness, where it says in verse 17, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. You see, we have to be made righteous. We can't be made righteous in ourselves. We have to be made righteous in order to have eternal life. In order to justify. Notice the next part of this gift is in the next verse. It says at the end, it says at the end of verse 18, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You see, God is God, and He can do what He wants to do, but He has to stay in the perimeters of judgment and justice. In other words, He has to be able, if He's going to give me eternal life, He has to justify that. He just can't say, here, you have eternal life. Here, you have eternal life. There was the wage had to be paid. The sin problem had to be taken care of in order for me and you to have eternal life. He had to justify giving me eternal life. He just couldn't give me, an old rotten sinner, eternal life. The Bible says that He can't even look on iniquity in Habakkuk. In Psalms it says that the Lord is a raging fire and burneth up His enemies. If I were to approach the throne of God in my sinful state, I wouldn't last a millisecond. I'd get burnt up. Couldn't do it. I had to be made righteous in order to have eternal life. They go together. Amen. So you have this gift that has to be planned. So if you look over in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, we'll just start in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised it before the world began. Well, who did He promise it to? Well, hold on there and turn over to John. And look in John chapter 17. Who was with Him before the world began? In John chapter 17. The plan, the first thing you do with a gift is you plan it. You figure out what you're going to get. You figure out what they need. You put some plan into it. Now, you husbands, when you have anniversary time, a good husband plans. In other words, he knows the date first. That's a good place to start. You know where it's at. Okay, yep, I know it's this date. June the what? 19th? Yes, June the 19th. It'll be 25 years for us, June the 19th. So I got to plan something, right? I can't just, on my way home from work, stop and get one of them little flowers you get at the convenience store. You have to think of it. You have to plan it. Well, in this case, for eternal life, God the Father planned before the foundation of the world to give you eternal life. This was something that was had way before thought. Way before it was pre-thought. Look in John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou hast gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee, when? Before the world was. Who was with God the Father? The Son. And he promised eternal life. It was planned. Look in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is called the wisdom of God. So the gift was planned by God the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained when? Before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This was something that God planned and ordained and set in motion before this world began. You are not an afterthought in God's mind. You're not plan B because Israel rejected him. Oh, well, I'm just going to go over here then. This was planned. This was a mystery. This was something that was made manifest at the time that it needed to be manifest. It's the perfect thing you need. It's exactly what you need. And it was planned by God the Father before all the world began. You have a plan. Well, you can have... What's the thing about plan? You can have the best laid plans. But if you don't follow through with those plans, then what good are they? Well, not only do you have a gift, you plan that gift, but then you go and you purchase that gift. God the Father planned it, but we just read here, and we read in John chapter 17... that Jesus Christ purchased this gift. The plan had to have the reason that God promised eternal life is because the plan is that Jesus Christ would come. Look over in Philippians. Look over in Philippians chapter 2. And we read over in Romans 5 already where by one man sin entered in the world and then by one man righteousness and justification of life came. In Philippians chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came to this world. This is the time of year where we talk about Him being born in a manger and born of a virgin. All true, all needed to happen. He had to be born of a virgin because He was going to die for your sins. And if He's born just like every other person is born, he couldn't do that. So He was born of a virgin. And notice in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of sinful men, or likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He submitted himself out of obedience to God the Father who had promised eternal life. He took God the Father at His word in the fact that God said, you go down to that world and you take on the likeness of men and you become a servant and you humble yourself and you die on that cross and I will raise you up the third day. The promise of eternal life. Who has eternal life? Look over in Timothy. Look over in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Well, in verse 14, it ends with Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God the Father promised eternal life. God the Son came down to this earth and died on a cross and became sin for you who knew no sin that you might be made the righteousness of God. He purchased your eternal life. He purchased that gift for you that day when He died on the cross and God raised Him from the dead on the third day. That's the purchase. God the Son purchased you. He purchased this gift for you. He suffered. He became sin. God the Father turned His back. God the Son hollered out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He died that day. Died and separated from the Father and suffered on that cross and became sin and died and went to the heart of the earth and was rose the third day glorious. He purchased that for you. He paid that for you. Don't think you can do anything to earn God's favor outside of what His Son did. What can you do to match that in God's eyes? Do you think coming to church on Sunday is going to pacify and be as equal as His Son dying on the cross for you? Do you think God, who's just and righteous, how can He justify giving anybody eternal life outside of what He promised His Son before the world began? He would be unjust. He wouldn't be God. So God the Son purchased. He became the mediator. Look over in chapter 2 while we're in Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Going back to what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the mystery of this was something that was hidden. This was a mystery. This was something that the princes of this world didn't know about. This was a plan all from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world. God the Father planned this. God the Son came down and purchased this gift. So you plan a gift, then you purchase the gift. But then if you purchase the gift and then you stick it up in the closet somewhere and you never give it to anybody, is it really a gift? I know we were, right before Christmas, Kim was like, I know I bought that gift, but I don't know where it's at. She had purchased it and then she'd put it somewhere, hiding it from the kids probably, no doubt. But you know, you find you got to, not only do you plan it and then you purchase it, but then you present it. Notice the three P's there? I didn't even go to seminary and I could do that. You plan it, God the Father planned it. You purchase it, God the Son purchased it. And you present it. You know who presents this gift to you? God the Holy Spirit presents this to you. How does that happen? You've got this gift. Jesus Christ suffered and died and now sits at the right hand of the Father. How does this message get out? How does this gift get presented? Well, we know, I hope you know, that this gospel was given to Paul. And Paul said that he received this by the revelation of Jesus Christ, not by man, not by it being taught by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel calls you. Look over in 2 Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Called by our gospel. How does that work? What is the gospel? The gospel's right here behind me. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. He died for you. He purchased this gift. Those are words. Words are spirit. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They're living, breathing words. The words, the gospel, it works through the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit. You know why you need that? Well, because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Well, the problem is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Romans chapter 3 says that He died for the ungodly. Well, man in his natural state doesn't see himself as ungodly. Man in his natural state, the proverb says, his ways are clean in his own eyes. You know how you find out that you are a sinner? It's not from you. You don't get that from you. You get that when you are confronted by the words that are written right here in this book, and they work. They convict. Look over in John. Look over in John chapter 16. And I know that he's talking to the disciples here, and he's talking about their what they will have once he is ascends to the Father. But the work here is similar. Verse 7, John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come..." And I always find it interesting, I got to stop right here. He calls the Holy Spirit here the Comforter, but then the things that he says he's going to do is not very comforting. Notice this. The Comforter is going to come, and when he has come, verse 8, "He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is something that reproves. Well, you know how that works today? It's not supernatural. It's the use of the Word of God reproving you and correcting you and convicting you about who you really are. The reason people don't like this Bible is because it does that very thing. They want to find a Bible that is a little softer around the edges, that takes the edge off. When the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says that our righteousness are as filthy rags. We are sinners. We are enemies to God. We are no good. And the Holy Ghost teaches us that when we will look at the words written on this page and to it being taught and preached. That's why the Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Holy Spirit presents this package because not only will He reprove and tell you that you're a sinner and that you need something, that you need salvation, that you need eternal life, but then He calls you with the good news of the gospel of Christ by saying, "Here's your gift." He presents it as, "Here it is, it's yours, receive it." Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. How do you receive this gift of eternal life? Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Do you know what? The words of the gospel, the words that I've spoken here today, you know how you receive that gift? You receive it by believing it. And it works. You receive it by just like you would receive any other gift. I've heard Steve use the analogy over and over again, because it's good, about the fact that you have a dollar bill in your hand and you reach across the table and you say, "Will you accept this dollar bill?" And the person just claims it, just receives it, just accepts it without any work, without anything to do. You just simply claim it as yours. It's your gift. It's yours. That's the greatest gift of all. There is no greater gift than this gift of eternal life. There's no greater gift that you will ever need. We were driving up here yesterday. $343 million lottery. Powerball. $343 million. Not a drop in the bucket compared to eternal life. Can't even compare it to eternal life. So we have this gift. If you've received it, it's yours. You can't give it back. You can't go trade it in. It's yours. You've claimed it. And it's called a treasure. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4. In referencing the gospel and his salvation in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The treasure is this gift. Do you treasure this gift? Is this gift something that you treasure, that you hold dear? Is it something that you think about? Is it something that you're grateful for? Is it something that you thank the Lord for? It should be. You should thank the Lord every single day for this gift. You know, there's probably not a worse feeling in the world. Well, yeah, I'm sure there are, but and this is in human terms, so I'm not even comparing it to God. But if you go and you spend and you save up because you love this person, and you save up and you work hard to purchase something, and you give it to them and they receive it, and then it's like you never even gave it to them. And it's like, they don't appreciate that very much. This should be something we treasure. And if you've never received this gift, think about this. And I'm going to be closing here. Think about this. If you reject this gift, you're rejecting all three heads of the Godhead. All three at one shot. You know, Israel, it took them several thousand years to reject all three. But when people reject the gospel of Christ, they are rejecting God the Father, they're rejecting God the Son, and they're rejecting God the Holy Spirit. There's nowhere else to go, folks. There's no other means. There's nowhere else you can go to get salvation. This is the gift. You can't find it anywhere else. You can't get it anywhere else. You receive this gift of eternal life. And once you receive it, treasure it. Let it be a treasure. Be excited about it. You know, this is the time of year when you get a gift, and the gifts that you're really excited about, you tell people about it because you think it's neat. I got a Amazon Echo. So every morning I'm going in and saying, "Good morning, Alexa." And she's telling me that this is yesterday. Did you know that yesterday was National Bacon Day? Alexa told me that. I'm sure the CIA knows everything I do now too, but I did ask Alexa, do you work for the CIA? And she said, "No, I work for Amazon." Now, she wouldn't lie. But that's a cool gift, you know? That's a cool thing. I'm excited about it. It's cool. I like it. So I tell people about it. Do you tell people about your gift of eternal life? Is that something that you try to bring up when you get an opportunity? Is it something that you treasure and that you think about? If not, let's start this new year being excited about the gift of eternal life.
Thank you, Robbie. That was great. I enjoyed that. To add one more P, he preserved it. And if you got the gift, you can't lose it. And that's the glorious thing to know about your salvation is that it's not about what we do, but what he did. And if you're not saved and have never trusted Christ, I would invite you to do that today. It wouldn't be a better thing you could do. For those who've tuned in via the internet, remind you we won't be on tonight. We will be back on Sunday morning next week, same time. And hope you'll tune in again. And again, I appreciate Brother Robbie preaching this morning. And I hope all of you will have a happy new year. Every now and then I see somebody post and it says, "Happy New Year's." Let's just take one at a time. Yeah, just one at a time. Happy New Year. And I hope you have I hope the coming year is better. We've had in relation to our church here, it's been one of the roughest years we've ever had in relation to the things that have gone on here, not doctrinally speaking, but just people passing and different things. But even in all that, the grace of God is always sufficient. And we look forward to 2018 being a better year and more opportunities to reach out to people, as Robbie was talking about there. This gift, it needs to be presented. And we have every opportunity to do that, and we should do that on a regular basis. I appreciate you being here. If you would, stand with me.